Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, our sermon was focused on Jesus' healing and compassionate hand. Though Jesus did not really need to touch the leper, he did so out of compassion for him. Jewish ceremonial law says that anyone who touches someone that is unclean becomes unclean themselves. But when the Lord reached down and touched that leper, he did not become unclean. Instead, Jesus heals the man, making him clean. Jesus indeed has the authority to heal the sick and make clean. But what can he do to those who have already died? We also have another encounter like last week in our reading for today. However, today there are two processions. On the one hand, the Lord is heading toward the town of Nain, followed by this great crowd. The fame of Jesus by this time is well known. His hand has cast out many demons. He has taught with authority. He has healed people of their diseases. People are naturally attracted to him, and so they follow him. Great crowds all around were wanting to touch Jesus. They were wanting to see him. They wanted to see him at work. All of this buzz and excitement around Jesus is the procession of the hand of life. But coming from the opposite direction, just outside the city gates, there's a different sort of procession. People are wailing and mourning. This procession is led by the hand of death, which touched a young man who is now being carried to his place of burial. A widow has lost her only son, like the woman in the Old Testament reading this evening. In biblical time, as a widow and now childless, she would have no other option but the life of a beggar with outstretched, empty hands just to provide for the necessities of life. She is now completely left alone in her sorrow, overshadowed by that hand of death that touched her life by taking both her husband and now her only son. What will happen when the procession led by the hand of life meets the procession led by the hand of death? What will happen when life and death touch each other? We know all too well what happens in this world. We have seen it time and time again. We know from experience that when life touches death, death seems to snatch life away. It does not matter how old or how young, when death touches life, it always seems to get the upper hand. For those of us who are still living, the touch of death can be and can have a long-lasting impact. Death was first brought into this world through the grasping hands of Adam and Eve, and death has had a grasp on us ever since. We all have earned the wages of our sin by the works of our hands. But now it's all coming to a head. The Lord of life, followed by his supporters, is coming to meet death and its group. As they approach, Jesus has compassion on them. The Greek word used here by Luke is almost always used in reference to Jesus's kind of compassion. It is a gut-wrenching compassion. Jesus is not indifferent to the touch of death upon people. He sees this sorrow as they carry this young man upon the funeral stretcher, and he has deep, deep compassion. But what does he do with his hand? Just like our reading about the healing of the leper from last week, there is some concern about becoming unclean by touching this dead body. But Jesus reaches out and touches the stretcher, and the bearers stop. Jesus' hand stops this procession of death in its tracks. He says, "Do not weep. Young man, I say to you, arise." No longer a corpse, he sits up alive. Not only alive, but he is speaking. The people at last knew that Jesus was coming with prophetic power. Like Elijah and Elisha before him, Jesus raises the woman's only son and gives him back to his mother. But Jesus is even more. Elijah and Elisha relied on the hand of the Lord to act. Jesus acts out of his own power, his own authority. Jesus is the hand of the Lord. When the hand of the Lord touches death, he gives life. When Jesus touches this procession of death, he transforms it into a procession of life. There are many more examples of the Lord bringing life out of death, the kinds of things that only God can do. Like when the Lord raised Jairus' daughter, he took her by the hand and she stood up. When the Lord touches death, he brings life. There is an interesting narrative from the Old Testament about the prophet Elisha. After he died and was buried in 2 Kings chapter 13, Moabites invaded the land. Now another man has also died and was being buried. Seeing the marauders, the man was quickly thrown into the grave of Elisha instead of his own grave. As soon as the corpse touched the bones of Elisha, he stood up alive. God can even turn the touching of the bones of Elisha into something that was life-giving. But as you know, all this raising of the dead that happened in the Old Testament was just a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. Jesus raised the widow's son by speaking to him, raised Jairus' daughter by taking her by the hand, raised Lazarus by simply calling him out of the grave. These examples were but a glimpse or foreshadowing of what he was to bring about in his own death. All the people that were raised from the dead prior to Jesus' own death had to suffer death again. But our Lord is more than a prophet. He took on human flesh. But Jesus is not merely human, though. He is also fully God at the same time. So what will happen when Jesus touches death in his own body? That is just what he did on the cross. He was led on a procession of his own death, forced to carry the cross, this rough-hewn instrument of the crucifixion, taking the just penalty for our sin, even though he had no sin. He willingly came into contact with death firsthand. He died and was buried. But when the Lord touched death, he brought life. 3 days later, he rose from the tomb, never to die again. He defeated death once for all and for all time. This is the kind of resurrection that Paul is speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus broke death's grip on our lives. And if God can use something like Elisha's bones to bring life, our resurrection life is so much more in Christ, because Christ is alive to this day and lives forever. If we are thrown into his grave in his death, it brings eternal life to us because he lives today. That is just what baptism has brought to you, the gift of eternal life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Romans 6:5. When Christ touches you through word and sacraments, death is stopped in its tracks. Your sins are forgiven. Death no longer has this hold over you. even though we still suffer the effects of sin in our bodies in this life, we have eternal life now because we have been united with Christ. So when Christ returns, even our bodies will also be raised on the last day. For when Jesus' life touches death, death is stopped in its tracks and life proceeds. Jesus truly is the hand of the Lord who raises the dead. Amen.